Welcome to Church Online as we gather together. Special welcome if you're with us for the first time. My name is Lynn and I'm the minister at Adelaide West. A couple of things to share in the life of our church as we begin. Last week we held a classical concert here. It was a great afternoon and we raised $1,100 for the Adelaide West Ministry Indigenous Literacy Programs. Next Saturday is the community fair. It's a great opportunity to meet with people in our community, and we often have people travel to visit as well. Why not invite someone to come? The live entertainment, pre-loved books, food, plants, craft, and more. Today is the start of Anti-Poverty Week. Anti-Poverty Week supports the Australian community to have an increased understanding of poverty and to take action collectively to end it. The key message is poverty exists. Poverty hurts us all, and we can all do something about it. It's a message of hope, not despair. So this week, take time to think of the children, the young people and families enduring financial stress and poverty. And we pray together for an end to poverty in our communities and in our world. I've just had a lovely week off, some of it camping in our magnificent outback, a time of rest and refreshment. And one of the things I'm learning for my self-care is, due to the busyness of coming back from leave, is to ask someone else to preach in that first week. And so the Reverend Ian Kitto, retired minister who preaches here from time to time, is sharing with us today. And we look forward to that. As we begin our worship, we light a candle as we do each week. It's a reminder that we are God's people together in God's presence, and that Christ is our hope and the light of the world. We worship together. We come lifting our hearts to the giver of grace. The first Bible reading today is from Mark 10, verses 35 to 45. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left in your glory." "You don't know what you are asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." And the second reading is from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 to 11. "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let me pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and open our hearts and our minds and our spirits that we may hear your word for us today. Amen. Have you ever seen flocks of ibis or pelicans flying in a V formation? In the Northern Hemisphere, Canadian snow geese head south for the winter, flying in a V, and science has now discovered why. As each bird flaps its wings, it creates an uplift for the bird immediately following behind it. By flying in a V formation, the whole flock adds at least 71% greater flying range than if each bird flew alone. And whenever a goose gets out of formation, it suddenly feels the draft and resistance of trying to go it alone and quickly gets back into formation. The geese honk from behind to encourage those up front to keep up their speed. And when the lead goose gets tired, it rotates to the back of the formation and another goose takes the lead. Finally, when a goose gets sick or is wounded and falls out of formation, two other geese follow it down to help and protect it. And they stay with the wounded goose until it can fly again. And then they all launch out on their own or with another formation to catch up with their original group. You know, if Christians had as much sense as a goose, then Christians who share a common direction and a sense of community, like the members of a congregation, can get where they're travelling with the help and uplift of one another. And if we have as much sense as a goose, we'll stay in formation with those who are headed in the same direction as we are. And we'll speak up and encourage one another. And it pays for members of a congregation to take turns doing hard jobs. And if people knew we would stand by those who are hurting and care for them like geese care for their wounded, they would push down the walls to join us on our mission. You see, all we must do in the church to have an amazing impact on the world is to demonstrate that we have as much sense as a goose. When the disciples, James and John, went to Jesus and asked to sit in the positions of importance on his right and left, the other 10 disciples got angry. It's a bit like the members of a political party jostling for leadership after a resignation, because they nearly all wanted to be first, to be great. And Jesus had something to say, something important to say, about how leadership is to be exercised. You see, among the Gentiles in Jesus' time, And like in many organisations today, the rulers and great ones had a history of being tyrants. And when leaders act like bullies, lording it over others, that's no fun for the underlings. If you've ever been on the receiving end of bullying, you know how demoralising and unhelpful that is. So Jesus told the disciples then, as he tells us now, "It is not so among you. Whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be the slave of all." From Mark 10, verses 43 and 44. Being great for a follower of Jesus involves serving others. It involves sacrifice, not superiority. And for followers of Jesus, there is something very different about how greatness or leadership is to be achieved and exercised when compared to secular people and to geese. As a congregation, if we've each got the sense of a goose, we'll all work together and head in the same direction. And so the Adelaide West Church vision, to be a community of acceptance, hope and transformation in Jesus, will be lived out in practice. Our values will be evident in who we are and what we do as a community, that is, worshipful, inviting, caring, expectant, growing, and giving. But there are a couple of provisos. The first is that we must maintain constant love for one another, as 1 Peter 4 verse 8 says. Love is essential, particularly for a church. Remember, we love because God first loved us, as 1 John 4 verse 19 says. Or think of Paul's great chapter on love, 1 Corinthians 13. Without love, we are nothing. Love matters. The second proviso is that, as Jesus said in Mark 10, leading or being great involves serving, like a servant or slave. And 1 Peter 4 verse 10 says, "Serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received." So what are these gifts that Peter is talking about? Well, they have something to do with speaking and serving. Whoever speaks must do so as one speaking the very words of God. Whoever serves must do so with the strength that God supplies. It's easy to see that people look different. We're tall, short, male, female, have dark hair, blonde hair, or no hair. We're also different when it comes to speaking and serving. For some people, standing up and speaking to others is a scary thing. Others take it in their stride. And in fact, it's often hard to get them to stop talking. For some people, being asked to serve on a church committee is really daunting. Others are committee junkies, and they just love to serve. What's important is that we all recognise our differences and see that, in fact, we do have different gifts and talents and abilities. And as Paul pointed out in Romans 12, 6-8, we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Some can speak or sing or play the drums easily and well. Some people will happily stay in the background, working in the kitchen or working the audiovisual stuff. These various gifts are different and complementary. They build us up and result in a healthy, growing community. They build us up, that is, when we are using these God-given gifts in healthy and complementary ways. So in our church community, we have some who arrange flowers, and some who clean, and some who read the Bible, and some who sing, and so on. All are equally valuable. And by the way, there's no real distinction between human gifts or talents and abilities and spiritual gifts. As a person of faith, we believe that everything comes from God. Well, everything good. If God has given us the ability to do something well, whether that is used out in the community, or to help the church, that's a spiritual gift. If gifts are used with love to build one another up, praise God. That's in the community and in the church. Human gifts tend to be more selfish. Now, we might think that we were asleep when the gifts were given out, but in truth, we're all gifted at something. We're to serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. As a duck, or if a duck, a possum, a rabbit, and an eagle were all expected to be equally good at swimming, running, climbing, and flying, it would never work out. The duck's a great swimmer, but no good at climbing. The rabbit can run fast, but it, unless it starts from a very high spot, it's no good at climbing and swimming. And the possum is excellent at climbing, but unless it starts from the top of the tree, it's no good at flying either. At an eagle, that always wants to fly, but doesn't climb or swim. The moral of the story? Each of us has been given unique gifts, capabilities, and passions, which enable us to excel in certain activities, and only those for which we have an appropriate gift. Now, I can preach, but don't ask me to play the drums. And some tasks are not our first choice. They're not glamorous or prestigious. It's the difference between being a surgeon in a hospital or a cleaner. It's not a high-ranking, prestigious job being a cleaner, but without them, dirt, dust and disease would soon run riot in the hospital and the surgeon wouldn't get good results. The Uniting Church has always emphasised every member ministry. In other words, we all have at least one spiritual gift, and together, as we work with one another, we make up the body of Christ. None of us is equipped with every good gift, and none of us has nothing to contribute. If the various jobs in a congregation are done by people to whom God has given just the right gift to do the job well, life will be much happier compared to when jobs are done by someone whose only qualification is that they are willing, or because someone has to do it. In other words, it's much better if whoever serves does so with the strength that God supplies, as 1 Peter 4 verse 11 says. If God gives you the gift of caring, then care. If God gives you the gift of drumming, then drum. If God gives you the gift of leading, then lead. And if God gives you the gift of cleaning, then clean. It's the same with ministry leaders. Some will be great preachers, some are great pastors, some are great administrators. But ministers and leaders aren't good at everything, in case you hadn't worked that out yet. What the church actually needs are leaders who are dream releasers. That is, they empower persons for Christian service. Setting each of us free to use our gifts together so we achieve our goals and fulfill the vision that God has implanted in the church. When we each recognise, accept and use our different gifts, we can all live as part of a vital and well-functioning congregation, a part of the body of Christ or church. We'll give God the glory and be a loving congregation. Now, I wonder what you've heard me say. The important thing is for everyone to use their God-given gifts to the best of our ability and to serve in whatever way God has equipped us. So take a few moments now to think about these questions. Are you using your God-given gift or gifts to the best of your ability? And do you know what your gift is? Is God calling you into a new role, one better suited to your God-given gifts and abilities? Is love part of the fruit the use of these gifts is producing? And whether your gift is primarily a speaking gift or a serving gift, is God being glorified in all things through Jesus Christ as you use that gift? And if you're a leader, are you a dream releaser? Let me pray. Loving God, we thank you for giving us all good gifts with which we can serve you and serve others. Help us through your Holy Spirit to grow and develop and use our gift or gifts so that you may be glorified, so that your church may be more loving, and so that more people may know Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord, and we pray that all unity may one day be restored, and they'll know we are Christians by our love, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will walk with each other, we will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other, we will walk hand in hand. Together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. They'll know we are Christians by our love. We will work with each other, we will work side by side. We will work with each other, we will work side by side. And we'll guard each other's dignity and save each other's pride. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Praise to the Father from whom all things come, and all praise to Christ Jesus, his only Son, and all praise to the Spirit who makes us one. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
Today we not only pray for those in poverty, but also join other Christians and faiths around the world, calling and praying for climate justice and care for God's creation. And so I'll be praying as part of that, a prayer from Pope Francis. Let's pray together. All powerful God, you are present in the whole universe and in the smallest of your creatures. You embrace with your tenderness all that exists. Pour out upon us the power of your love, that we may protect life and beauty. Fill us with peace, that we may live as brothers and sisters, harming no one. O God of the poor, help us to rescue the abandoned and forgotten of this earth, so precious in your eyes. Bring healing to our lives, that we may protect the world and not prey on it, that we may sow beauty, not pollution and destruction. Touch the hearts of those who look only for gain at the expense of the poor and the earth. Teach us to discover the worth of each thing, to be filled with awe and contemplation, to recognize that we are profoundly united with every creature as we journey towards your infinite light. We thank you for being with us each day. Encourage us, we pray, in our struggle for justice, love, and peace. And Lord God, we pray in this Anti-Poverty Week. We know that poverty exists. We know that poverty hurts us all. Lead us and inspire us to do something about it. We pray for children, young people and families enduring financial stress and poverty. We pray for the unemployed, the underemployed, those with health and mental health issues that lead to financial and housing stress, all compounded by COVID. We pray for an end to poverty in our communities and in our world. And help us to live lives where we make poverty history. We confess our sins to you. Those times when we live without regard to others. Those times when we turn a blind eye to the poverty of others. When we don't care for your creation. So we bring you those things. And we give you thanks that these things and all our sins are forgiven through your death and life so that we can know freedom and purpose. Holy Spirit, we pray for those that we know that are going through tough things at this time. We all have people on our hearts and we lift them to you. And we particularly pray today for Jenny and Josephine in hospital. We pray for Neil in quarantine. For all those names we've lifted to you, we pray that your grace and your peace and your healing would be with them. We thank you that you give us good gifts. And so we bring you our gifts, financial and practical. And we pray that you would use them to share your love, to show your love to the people in our communities and in our world. We bring you our prayers in the name of Jesus, whose name is blessed. Amen.
Darkness closes in, Lord. Stay.
do hope this service has brought you joy and hope today. And thanks to Ian for sharing with us. If you would like prayer, you can either send us an email or press the prayer button if you're watching live. We would love to be praying with you. This week, remember, we all have God-given gifts. Use your gift to serve God and serve others so that others will know that we are Christians by our love. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship, friendship, and unity of the Holy Spirit be with you today and remain with you always as you serve God's world. Amen. Blessings on your week.
Praise to the Father from whom all things come, and all praise to Christ Jesus, His only Son, and all praise to the Spirit who makes us one. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.